This is LabCast, insights and ideas for the expansion stage senior manager, hosted by OpenView Labs.
Hello again, everyone, and welcome to this episode of LabCast. Today, we are joined by Mark Roberge, VP of Sales at HubSpot. Mark, thanks very much for joining us today.
Thanks, Brendan.
So, HubSpot, you know, if you're online right now and you're interested in online marketing lead generation, I mean, it's pretty hard to escape HubSpot. You guys are everywhere right now. But for those who aren't familiar, why don't you give us a little quick breakdown of what HubSpot's all about and kind of your background?
Sure, Brendan. About 4 or 5 years ago, we had done a thesis at MIT about the changing buying patterns of prospects and folks out there in the marketplace due to the advent of the internet. How it was misaligned with the way that sales and marketing teams were going to market. And at the time, we coined the term inbound marketing. It all kind of came from this this thesis that we had done at the Institute. So the basis of it was the majority of folks were going to market by doing cold calls or going to trade shows. They were buying lists for direct mail or email marketing and trying to pound down the walls of their potential prospects to get in the door. And it just the effectiveness of those techniques was significantly decreasing, more and more of those buyers were empowered to go online, to go to Google, to go to social media, and conduct searches or questions or pose questions to their peers about the different pains that they're having and how people are solving them, and companies are looking to align themselves and get found where those people are searching. And once they're found, convert those visitors into leads and customers. And that's essentially what HubSpot does, is we provide all the basic software tools necessary to achieve that goal.
So when you talk about that, it's really there's a real connection there between sales and marketing. Do you find that that changes the way you guys look at the sales process, being that not just the sort of services and products that you guys are putting out there, but just your overall methodology, I guess?
Absolutely. I mean, so that, obviously we eat our own cooking internally. Last month, as an example, our marketing team generated 40,000 inbound leads for the team. I've got 100 people on the sales team, probably about 75 of them or so are in, sales closing roles. So those leads are divvied up amongst them. So we've certainly driven our entire sales process using the methodology of inbound marketing, and it presents a lot of great opportunities and some unique challenges that you don't see in more traditional cold calling type environments. We are tied to the hip with marketing. We really can't be successful unless marketing is successful. So there's a lot of proactive elements we've had to do around the communication process. We have meetings at the management level to make sure we're in sync on different campaigns and what's actually working. We have service level agreements, SLAs, that are defined between the marketing and sales team to be as quantitative and specific as possible on what each group needs to deliver to one another, how many leads, what quality of leads, and once marketing hits those, how deep, how frequently should sales call them, what's the expectation into conversion to opportunity, conversion to pipeline, conversion to customer. So we've tried to be as metrics driven as possible in determining that, defining that relationship and creating a very scalable, predictable channel.
Do you think, like, as far as defining that relationship goes, you're talking about really sticking to certain measurable metrics. That's always been like a challenge in the past when it comes to marketing, particularly brand marketing and some of the online marketing initiatives people go through. Finding measurable metrics to really measure the success of that. With you guys being so tied to the hip with marketing, do you think that's one of like the major challenges for other companies, especially young startups and expansion stage ones, as far as getting those sales and marketing in line and kind of lockstep the same way you guys have?
A little bit. I mean, I think historically marketing has been challenging to measure exactly what success is. You know, when you throw up a billboard or if you throw out a print ad, you could use different techniques to try to get down actually how much influence it had. But there's always someone driving by or someone skimming through that it's very difficult to measure. I think, also driven by this change of the digital age, the actual success or failure of these campaigns is much easier to measure. So I think a lot of folks are trying to progress in that area, and it's certainly an area that startups can do a better job in. I think the other element is, there's an ability to capture so much more data about the people that are visiting you, even if they don't tell you anything about them. Oftentimes you can figure out, you know, using the IP, what company they're from, what pages they looked at, and once they do identify themselves, you can kind of aggregate all that information together. So you can be a lot more scientific about the different demographics and engagement metrics that all your leads have and which ones are correlating with success through your sales funnel. I think generically speaking, Brendan, you're getting at sort of what are some of the trends I see with startups with regards to this. And I think generically speaking, they're not adding enough science and data to their sales and marketing process. They're being a little bit too gut oriented. They're trying to get right down to the close as opposed to practicing what that formula looks like. Even when you're small, like really working on that formula and how it works is critical, because ultimately you do want to scale, and it's going to be much more comforting to you and your investors if you have that formula worked out.
And I also wanted to ask a little bit about, as far as online marketing, a lot of that these days for new companies is really driven by content, and HubSpot is very focused on creating lots of valuable, unique content for improving HubSpot's branding as well as helping other companies improve their overall branding and reach and engagement with customers. I've read a lot recently about how content can be used as far as improving the sales process. I was wondering if you could kind of talk a little bit about some of your ideas and experiences as far as how some of the content initiatives within HubSpot have helped sales.
Yeah, sure. So, I mean, it helps at every stage of the funnel. You know, as you've suggested, at the very top of the funnel, I think a big mistake is too many people are out there sort of purchasing lists and kind of guessing at who's a good fit for their company and basically spamming them with a whole bunch of emails or collateral. And not enough folks are out there trying to educate the market through the form of a blog, through the form of an ebook or a webinar that they can promote to people that are sort of at the top of the sales process. They're kind of educating themselves with the options that are out there. They're learning about the new trends and techniques and brands. You want to be the person that's defining those trends and best practices, and your brand needs to be seen as that sort of authoritative voice where people go to for education. And then, further down in the process, once people do convert and start to signal to you that they're in sort of maybe a vendor analysis standpoint, they're willing to talk about some of their requirements, their needs, and open up along those lines, there's a deeper set of collateral that will work better to move that person into a buying process. And I think in that stage of the sales process, it's extremely important to appreciate the stage that they're in and align the content with them, right? So we'll do a bunch of webinars this week. One of them will probably be about latest best practices in Facebook marketing. The intention of that collateral is not to move someone into a closing sequence. The intention of that collateral is to capture someone that's sort of in that higher level educational phase, starting to think about inbound marketing and social media and that kind of stuff. We'll run another webinar that's going to be a product demo on the performable capability, one of the companies we most recently bought, on how companies are being more scientific around their market automation and taking their market automation into the next wave. That particular webinar is intended to move someone much closer to the buying sequence. So I think, being able to understand which stage your buyers are in within your funnel and aligning the collateral with that particular stage to move them to the next process is something that that needs to be appreciated within the sales and marketing funnel.
Certainly, and from a lead generation standpoint as well. Obviously, you guys work a lot as far as lead qualification, outbound prospecting. From a publisher standpoint, a traditional publisher standpoint, when it comes to creating content online, they're generally focused on finding advertising for the content they're creating, and a lot of the ways that they'll the value statement that they're giving to those advertisers is their lead generation. You sponsor this webcast, you sponsor this ebook, people people sign up to see it, and then that's a lead. Every person that signs up for it is a lead, and then that goes back to the advertiser. Does that seem like, you know, this is sort of an opportunity for companies to sort of cut out that middleman and create that content themselves in a way where they're engaging directly with an audience without selling them anything, just to educate them, but also at the same time creating an opportunity where they can actually generate leads and make new contacts directly?
Absolutely. I mean, listen, we've experimented with some of those other paid channels. And when they're fine, it's just, it's really competitive and you lose that control. Mm-hmm. We always say, don't go advertise on TV, build your own TV station. Don't go advertise on radio, build your own radio station. You know, and don't go advertise in print, build your own publication. Mm-hmm. You know, that's really what this new age of online, digital, inbound marketing has presented as an opportunity for every single brand. And by doing so, that's an enormous competitive advantage. You build enormous trust and brand recognition out there in the marketplace, and you'll have much more success with the leads that come from that channel.
Sure, absolutely. Would you say that people are also just becoming more sophisticated as far as finding their own information online when they're making these buying decisions, and that's just another level of why it's so important to really have quality educational content out there for people, so by the time they get to the sales part where they actually have to talk to a rep and make those, you know, final decisions as far as a buy, they're already, you know, a lot of the work's already been done?
Absolutely, and that's, you know, just like we talk a lot here at HubSpot about the transition in marketing, we don't talk as much about the transition in sales, but these same like sort of online trends have triggered a similar transition within the sales process. And Brendan, you pointed out very well. I mean, 10, 15 years ago, if you were evaluating security software vendors, you probably had to go to a show. You know, and you probably had to read, you know, CTO magazine or something and see who was out there. And you had to talk to a salesperson just to figure out what the price was and what the features are and how it compared to the other vendors that are out there. Today, it's a very different story. Today, you can get all that information online. Just go to the website. You can do a Google search for, you know, security software firms and financial services and pick off the first five people that are listed. Google's pretty good at figuring out who are the top players there, and a lot of folks are using that as a first step in their vendor choices. Oftentimes, you go to their website, actually try their product for free.
Yeah.
You know, so, I mean, what value does the salesperson bring
right
in that whole process? And it's really caused sales folks to have to step up to be much more consultative in their process. You know, so as an example, one of the first things that when you join HubSpot as a salesperson, you do no sales training for the first 2 weeks. Your entire first 2 weeks, you actually start your own blog. You'd start doing inbound marketing on the HubSpot platform. You get 100 people to subscribe to your blog. You start generating conversions and subscribers. You're out there on Twitter, getting followers. You live and breathe the feeling of an inbound marketer. And when our folks finally connect with their prospects, usually that person could have been following us for 3-4 months. They could have consumed over 100 pages on their website. They're pretty educated. And now they're looking for that deeper level of education. And if our salesperson is able to get in there and answer their detailed questions about how to write a successful blog article and how to execute on a successful social media campaign, they're going to be successful. If they can't, if all they've done is memorize the price book, they add no value to the process. So, as salespeople, we really have to step up and understand our space at a much deeper level.
Yeah, wow. I mean, that's incredibly integrated. I mean, more integrated than I was expecting to say it was, as far as just ramping salespeople up from a HubSpot's perspective, not just for HubSpot, but for companies in general. Do you foresee or have you seen any issues as far as like buy-in and getting people to really like commit to this sort of this new way of doing sales? Like if someone comes into a new company and they think they're going to be a salesperson, all of a sudden, you know, they're thinking, what am I doing? I'm running a blog. I'm involved with marketing. This is not what they were expecting. Have you had any experience with just people not buying into, you know, what you're selling pardon the pun?
Yeah, I mean, don't confuse the two. My prior point was that salespeople need to step up and understand their particular product and space at a deeper level. If you're selling routers, you should go and set up a router or, like, go visit a buddy in IT and really feel that pain. I'm not necessarily saying that every salesperson needs to blog to be successful with inbound marketing. You know, for our particular customers, someone there needs to be out there blogging and participating in social media to be successful in this new age of sales and marketing. If you can engage with salespeople, that's fantastic. It's not required. Mm-hmm. They can remain out there hunting. Usually what I recommend, and believe me, that usually is the most difficult step that companies need to take, is they're literally transforming the way they think about marketing, you know, moving away from having a sizable budget that they allocate to vendors to actually putting out content, publishing content, interacting directly with your potential customers. And it takes time, and it takes a different type of skill set. And usually what I encourage people to do is find someone that has that writing ability, that journalistic ability. Mm-hmm. It could be one of the marcoms there. It could be, sometimes it's actually the administrative assistant. You know, like a lot of times those people have English majors. They're exceptional communicators.
Sure.
And they have a little bit of free time. I love it when they go out to, I mean, especially up here in Boston here, go to Harvard, MIT, Babson, DC, BU, find an intern. All these 20-somethings want to be doing social media.
Oh, yeah.
Right? You can often find a great intern from Harvard that's studying journalism that can spend 5 hours a week over your company. And basically what you do is you have that person, and then you define your thought leadership committee. Yep. These are the people that have the domain expertise at your company. They often don't have time, and they often, you know, sometimes some of them can write, some of them can't.
Right.
But they're great thought leaders, the CEO, the VP of sales, the VP of marketing, some of the salespeople, some of the consultants. You can usually find 5, 10, whatever, depending on the size of your company, people that are in that committee. And once a week, sit down one of them with that person, that journalistic person, for a 15-minute cup of coffee. Right, and they're just going to talk about this very specific subject, like we're doing here.
Right.
Right, and that journalist can go off from that simple 15-minute conversation and create 2 awesome blog articles.
Absolutely.
And repeat that process every week. So now your CEO is sitting down once every 2 months for 15 minutes, and you've created a process that puts out 2 very good blog articles a week without requiring the time from your important, valuable people.
Yeah, you know, and that really hits home for me. My background's in journalism myself, and I've transitioned over to content marketing. There are the people with that skill set, especially students and interns, like you said. Those folks, they're gonna want to get involved in this kind of thing. Not a lot of people that are interested in journalism and creating content and reaching an audience and doing that sort of thing aren't necessarily interested so much as going to print and being a print journalist like before. Now there's all these different opportunities for them to sort of come into an online branding, online marketing, inbound marketing situation, and be able to use that skill set in a different way. It's a whole new opportunity for those kind of people. And at the same time, not just with journalists and outside interns, but also with, like you said, the other people with writing abilities within the company. It seems like this whole operation really, by getting more people involved, it educates the entire company, the entire business on the different areas, and it that just seems like. You know, the more people know from top to bottom in different departments as far as how different things work and stuff like that, the better for the organization overall, wouldn't you say?
Absolutely. I mean, for those people you referenced to kind of join, they're choosing between joining a dying industry and one that's exploding.
Right.
You know, I mean, it's just a no-brainer. And, I mean, even the journalists that are out there, I mean, one of our early hires was a former reporter at the New York Times.
Wow.
I mean, these guys are like, it's print and newspaper is not exactly going well right now.
Right.
You know, and like there's this huge inefficiency in the market where there's these extremely talented people that are like kind of like fighting it out in this dying market. And then there are these marketers who are trying to figure out how to redefine themselves in this changing environment. And little do they know that the two of them just need to find each other.
Yeah.
Like the marketers just need to find those amazing journalists, and those journalists need to like realize that they hold the keys to unlocking amazing lead and sales generation for the brands that are out there and put the two together. And that's really what you started to see over the last couple of years.
All right, Mark. Well, thanks again for taking the time to talk with us today. We really appreciate it. Some great insight. Hopefully we get to do it again soon. I'd like to give you an opportunity to tell folks how they can maybe find more from you. I know you contribute to the HubSpot blog. That's correct?
Yeah, sure. I mean, always out there in social media, contributing to different sales and marketing conversations, and then certainly check out blog.hubspot.com. It's an extremely active hub and a starting point for a lot of things that we have going on at HubSpot.
Great. Well, thanks very much, and hopefully we get to talk to you again soon.
Great. Thanks, Brandon.